Welcome to Social Genius, brought to you by Drunk on Social, where we help you stay ahead of social media trends, share the latest news, and highlight the strategies that are working to help you grow your business. Now let's join our hosts, Tristan and Jeff, in 3, 2, 1.
This episode is brought to you by Social Genius. That's where Jeff and I get to actually teach you what to do on social and how to grow it. Jeff, why should people join?
You know, if you are the type of professional that wants to do it yourself and maybe your budget's a little bit lighter and you can't afford to hire somebody to do all the editing, do the fancy stuff for you, we're going to teach you how to do all this stuff. And the truth is, most of these social platforms are not favoring authenticity. So it's shooting these green screens and doing remixes and understanding what's trending. Those are the things that matter the most to your social strategy. And so if you like to be inside of a tight culture of people that are like-minded and want to do it themselves, then Social Genius is perfect for you.
We'll see you there. You'll never find it for less than this anywhere else. It's very inexpensive. We'll see you on the other side.
We were just talking off air about a topic. Actually, it wasn't a topic. It was a conversation. I was enlightening Tristan as to something that happened over the weekend. And this is how these podcast episodes sometimes go. And I think it's why it works, because we don't always come in with preconceived ideas. We do, but then we start having a conversation. And this happens a lot. Hey, let's do an episode about that instead. And that's what we're going to do today. So we're episode 140. I didn't even remember what he just said. 144 or
141, episode 141. Thank you, CK.
And so I had something happen over the weekend, and we're going to talk about it because it relates to something that Tristan and I disagree on. Actually, we don't really disagree. We just, you know, it's a different take, but we're going to talk through it. We'll call it a disagreement and we'll get there. But actually, Tristan, I wanted to point something out to you completely off topic real quick. I just noticed that I had these web links open right now because I was on a call earlier with somebody. When somebody drops really big words and I'm like, ooh, that was a big word, I don't want to stop the person. And then I go to Google and I Google the word while he's still talking. That's just so I kind of set it aside for later. You ever do that?
I've done that before, dude. That's very true. I have done.
So I'll tell you the words: nascent and innocuous.
Ooh, I like both.
Two good words. I was like, wow, dude, you're smart, man.
CK, take note. Use big words to impress. Yeah, there you go.
That impresses me. All right. So here we are. Here I was, Tristan. So I guess I'll tell the story like I just told you. I was down at the lake. So I don't know when this is going to be released, but this is being recorded on February the 26th. I was at the lake on the weekend prior to the 26th. So that would have been the, you know, the 24th and 23rd, Friday and Saturday. And I was shooting a bunch of content, creating a bunch of long forms. That's probably a topic in and of itself. I batch as many long forms in like 2 days. So I'm done for the next 2 months. Right. And one of the videos was of a influencer, legit influencer. If you're anybody's interested, y'all know, you know, my Lake of the Ozarks connections. His name is iMotor Mike on all of the platforms. Very easy to find, iMotor Mike. And I've talked about him before. His name is Mike Galloway. He strictly does jet ski stuff, right? And he has 557,000 followers on TikTok, over 11.2 million likes. His Instagram's over 100,000. He's a kid. He's 27, 28 years old. I just thought he was, you know, could create content, did flips. He attracted people. But once I got into a deep conversation with him, as you know, Tristan, this kid gets it deeper than I do. And I was like, damn, like I learned something from this conversation. But which, by the way, we need to have him on as a guest because you will love the conversation with him.
Dude, I would love to talk to this guy.
His mindset's interesting.
Actually, but let's bring him into the group coaching. Social Genius is one of the
course. Of course, definitely. I will. What he will teach will blow your mind. And just to give you a little context, so I mentioned his following. He's also got 100,000 on YouTube too, but he monetizes on TikTok over $100,000 a year. He hasn't given me specific data, but that's how much money he's making just on videos over a minute long. And this guy's got it figured out. He goes live every single day. He's figured out how to grow his following by going live on TikTok. He's got it dialed in. Anyways, we were over there. I was over there. I did a long form video with him over the weekend, and he always challenges me every time we're together. And he asked me, he's like, "So how's it going for you?" And I'm like, "You know me, dude. I'm not too worried about monetization. I'm just more focused on consistency. I'm focused on other things than monetization on the platform." And he said, "Are you paying attention to when your followers are dropping off your videos?" And I said, "No, I know I should be, but I'm not." And he said, "Well, let's take a look at one." And so we pull up a video, a recent video that was a longer form. So it was a minute and 46 seconds. It was a good performing video. It's at 6,100 views, 30 shares. So in my mind, that's all I saw. Like, that's good, right? Mm-hmm. And as I'm looking at the data, he's like, "Let's look at the data. Okay. He's like, "That's great. 30 shares, 9 saves. Congratulations." But like, he wasn't that impressed. He scrolls immediately down to retention. It's all about retention, right? And so he runs his thumb across this little graph and he says, "You jumped down under 50%. That's what he was focused on. You jumped down under 50%. Viewership at the 11 second mark. So he stopped right there and he said, "Let's go into the video." And he fast forwarded to the like 9 or 10 second mark. And he said, "What did you say?" And if you watch this video, it was a green screen video talking about something in the news, right? And I went through a news article basically. And at the 11 second mark, I said, "Let's read into this." Mm-hmm. That's what I said. He said, "Don't ever say that again." He goes, that clearly drove people away. And I'm like, "Well, what should I have done? Should I have used a different kind of like rehook?" Or he's like, "Honestly, just go into it. Don't even say anything in a break." And he's like, "You're probably going to have to test this." But it was fascinating to me while I'm sitting there like, damn it, I know I need to be doing this. And it's little things like that, you know, sadly, I know a lot of the people listening to this don't even get past the 2 or 3 second mark because their hooks suck. And he even said it. He's like, "Clearly you got the hook. You held on to them for 10 seconds, but you lost them at 11. And he's like, "That's what you got to figure out. You got to figure out what are the things you're saying during transitional points in your videos that are making people leave." And I thought it was fascinating. So where you said, "That's a good topic. Let's talk about that." You said, "We actually disagree." And the reason why Tristan said he disagreed isn't necessarily because we disagree, but here's my mindset. And I think this is relatable to everybody listening to this podcast. I'm focused on cadence. I'm focused on consistency. And because I already lack time, I do a lot of coaching. I'm bogged down most days. There's most days. Today's a good example. I will be squeezing in time tonight after everyone's in bed to create content. I have no choice, but I'm just going to get it done because I'm committed to that process. So I feel like I have a choice. Do I spend my extra time, which is very limited, reviewing the analytics down to the core, or do I spend my time creating more content? And I'm not saying I'm right. It's just a choice that I've currently made. And I do know at some point, I got to take this more serious, but here I am. And you have an opinion that you have yet to share with me. So you're going to share it with everyone at the same time.
Yeah, I think, this is not mine. It's from Daryl Eaves. Remember Daryl Eaves?
Yeah. He coached Mr. Beast. I mean,
yeah. YouTube formula. Here it is. He's right, man. I think the thing that we get caught up on, not just you, but me, is, "Oh shit, I have to create more content. And we're not taking the time to slow down and say, "Well, it's not necessarily, look at my YouTube channel, which has way too many videos for the amount of followers. I only have like 13, almost 14,000 followers, but I have way too many videos. I should have a lot more followers, but I never took the time to look back and say, Yeah, I'm posting up shit, but what's actually engaging people where they're not dropping off? See, the point that he brought up was one that Daryl brings up, and that's you have to take a look at on TikTok. And now that it's open on Instagram and YouTube, and take a look at where did people drop off 50%? And what he did with yours is what Daryl Eves does all the time with all of his videos. He goes to the 50% mark, and then he backs up just a little bit and says, okay, what did you say? What did you do? What didn't you do? Were you too boring? What was your tone like? Did you change sceneries? Did you not change sceneries? Right. And that really becomes the key to longer term engagement. And sometimes this is where the magic can happen. Maybe it's just a simple edit that it's a jump cut and says, oh, got it. I need to continue to watch. Oh, another jump cut. Got it. Or maybe it's topic, right? So like you engaged them all, but you never took the time to figure out why you lost them.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the power is, man. You and I, with the amount of content you and I create, you and I, outside of numbers, okay, forget numbers, we should have a lot more followers than we do that engage with us deeply. But we need to slow down and take a look at the analytics more so that we understand where we're heading and why. Because I think what you and I do is we create great content, but we can engage more if we just understand what is engaging from what we're putting out.
Yeah.
And now my question to you.
Go on.
When are you going to start doing this?
Yeah, I don't know. I think...
That's not a good answer.
It's not a good answer. No, it's not. I think for me, and maybe this is not the right answer, and we're just having a conversation now and making it a podcast episode, which is probably a good thing. But I sometimes wonder, it's like you have to focus on what you're best at.
True.
Right. And so I feel like the content creation piece is probably my strongest attribute. I'm creative. I can make sometimes mundane ideas and topics more entertaining. And so I think for me, it's not going to be me making the time. It's going to be me investing in the person who's going to spend his or her time doing that on my behalf. That's what I think.
Well, to an extent, you're already doing it, Jeff. Not hiring the person, but if people listening in and saying, well, yeah, I'm in Jeff's position or your position, where I don't have the time to do it because I'm also running a real estate business. I'm just creating content, throwing it out. Well, we could do something. You listening in can do something really quick that Jeff and I both do. And that's we both look at which ones do well. And then we're like, oh, got it. It did well. Let me reproduce more that are similar. This is how Jeff ended up going into the Ozarks, right? And then the style of what we do. Like Jeff, your news video that you reported that dude who jumped into the freaking house, right? Those do really well. So he's reproducing more in that way. So we pay attention to what works and do our best to reproduce those. In essence, it's almost the same without looking at the analytics, not full analytics.
Yeah.
But I think the next step, Jeff, is for you to either hire someone to take a look at the analytics and say, and tell you exactly and be like, hey, yo, that video, that could have been better. If you just did this and not did this, here it is. And it's in a simple text that they sent.
Yeah. It's not an expert to correct my ways. It's an expert that spends the time studying the analytics to say, this is what happened. I don't know what you should do different, but this is what happened. And that's up to me to figure that out or tweak it or change it. Right. I'm having an interview on Friday with someone, so just so you know, I am heading in that direction. I don't know for sure if I'll hire this kid or not, but with that intent to basically help fill some gaps. But it's also interesting. So last week I did and this is kind of a shift on this topic. I did a YouTube class for business video school. You know, they asked me to come on and I said, honestly, I'm not a YouTube expert. I said, I'm a practitioner. I think I'm having decent success organically with the Lake of the Ozarks, and I'm happy to share my thoughts and strategy, but I'm not an expert. Like, I do not put myself anywhere in that realm. I've got, you know, I'm approaching 1,000 followers after 7-8 months of a YouTube channel. I think that's decent, right? Mm-hmm. But I described, and we started digging a little bit deeper, and it was the same thing. So Vanessa was basically co-hosting this, and she had read Daryl Eve's book, and she said, it's funny because a lot of the things you say are what Daryl Eve says. In fact, because I said this, I said, I spend no time in my YouTube analytics because I don't feel like I'm there yet. Right. And I was even pointing out how a lot of my content is just extremely disappointing. When I get into my channel, it's like, God, Nick, why did that only get 200 views? Like, why is it so crappy? And she did say that in his book, he says you shouldn't pay attention to your analytics on your YouTube channel until you've created 100 long forms.
Yeah.
And I'm not anywhere near that because I do one a week. My channel is only 7 or 8 weeks old. So, or 7 or 8 months old. So you can do the math. Maybe halfway there. And so I didn't even realize it in saying it because I didn't know that that was what he said. But, you know, my shorts do well, like, but here's what I tell people, and I don't know how you feel about this, Tristan, but my attitude about a YouTube channel, and this is what I was teaching in this class, was that I think too many business owners, especially obviously real estate agents, think that YouTube is going to be low hanging fruit to easy business because, because you've seen ads, right? You see somebody that talks about how their entire business was built off of a YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
You're not taking into account the fact that they're just a unicorn probably, but
yep.
My bigger point is that, like, why would you want to jump into YouTube before you've mastered Instagram, TikTok, or Facebook? Like, and so my rationale is, or my what I share is that you should focus your efforts on building a library of short form content so that you can post shorts daily in perpetuity because you have a bank of them, right? Mm-hmm. And then all you have to do is focus on one long form a week. And you should then bank probably 4 of those before you even launch the channel. So you're out ahead. And then you don't have to worry about the consistency. Cause I do think consistency on YouTube is incredibly important. I think it's important on all the platforms. And so I think you need to come to terms with, all right, my goal needs to, and this is just listening to Austin over the years, right? I should be posting a short a day at least. I should be posting at least one. From most YouTube people, and you can probably agree with this, they say usually one a week. Occasionally, I hear 2. But for the most part, it's typically one a week. And so that's what I did. I listened to what people said. I said, all right, I can commit to a short a day and a long a week. That's my goal. And I'm going to focus on that first. And then once I get deep, I'll start to study some more. And we are, by the way, we are changing thumbnails. So we're going back to old videos that had crappy viewership and changing thumbnails. Yeah. So we are tweaking things like that. And I did challenge my team recently about TubeBuddy and how much they're utilizing it, keywords, SEO, all that kind of stuff. And they are. So we're doing the things. It's just not, you know, and it's very slow and steady growth, but it's happening. Just, you know.
One of the things I recommend on the shorts, because I agree with you, I think it's a lot easier for us who have a full business outside of doing social. Real estate, mortgage, whatever. It's tougher to go back and dissect things. But if you were to take those shorts that you're doing and then take a look at, for you specifically, Jeff, to use you as an example, you would take the ones that went viral and then now you have an example of what you could go long form in because it went viral short form. What people in essence are doing with what you suggested is like, hey, throw a bunch of shorts up on every platform, and whichever one goes viral, now you go back and say, got it, I have some long form content now. Because Jeff, if you did the exact same thing that you did with that short video of the boat jumping into the island and made it long form on YouTube, it would have also done very well. Same idea, right? Damn. And then your chances are increased.
Shit, so, I should have done that.
Dude, I'm telling you, some of these stupid lives I've done, I'm like, oh, that's a good one. And then I go live and I was like, damn, that did well. Do you remember when the first time everyone was said we were going to crash 2021 and I went all out on real estate videos? Mm-hmm. Dude, that grew my channel.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we need to be paying attention more to the shorts that we do, those that hit bigger, then slow down and say, great, now how can I make this a longer form video on YouTube? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good point. Just create longs out of the stuff that pops on shorts and see what happens. And I think, as I just thought about it, it's too late. It's too late on that boat crash video. I should have done it within a couple of weeks because I did follow it up. You know that. Like I followed up on TikTok.
You got a lot of views.
Yeah, each one was hundreds of thousands after the 1.8 million. I think two of them hit a million. Yeah. Damn. Stupid.
Well, dude, you even get me sending you stupid shit about boats and news, yeah. Right? Yeah. So now you can pick and be like, okay, short, good, did well, long. And then you don't have to think about it. Yeah. You literally don't have to think about it.
It also has made me, I mean, just going down a side rabbit hole for those of you that are wondering, like, what do you do with this? The one thing is, like Tristan just said, I have, and that's not just you. I can probably count 15 people that send me boating related videos now, because that's who they think of first, which is why I told my wife the other day, I'm like, I should probably get my real estate license. And because if I continue to do this over the next 5 years, imagine the amount of referrals that are probably going to come in of people just referring business to me because they think of me first. And then I don't really want to sell real estate, but you know, then just pass it off to, you know, just have a couple agents on my team to do all the work and I'll just be the rainmaker.
25% also referral if you want to go the referral route.
Exactly. That's what I would do. Yeah. Yeah.
I like it. I liked our topic a lot today.
It's real. It's
very practical, very real. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, what's your takeaway? What is your takeaway advice? Because I think a lot of our listeners probably look at me and you and say, you guys are at a level that I'm not even at. And here you are telling me that you're not paying attention. I'm not really sure what I should do at this point.
Yeah. Three things. First, I would start slow and go back and take a look at what videos performed well. That's the easiest thing to do because you're going to find, unfortunately, less of your videos. If you're listening in, less of your videos went viral, probably a handful. Take a look and see why you think they went viral. Like, where was that graph? If you take a look at the graph on the back end, where did people start dropping off? Under 50%. That's a lot easier than going through every single video that you've made. It's like, why did it suck? Right? Then at least you can reproduce some of the viralness from those videos. That's number one. Number two is, I like Jeff's idea on short videos. Our goal is to create these short little video contents, just post them up. And then to grab a little what Daryl Eve said, you shouldn't really be looking at analytics until you've got 100 long form. Well, imagine how many short form, right? Hundreds. So you can take a look and say, okay, what did well? What didn't? Maybe I can identify deeper with this pillar. And then once you do that, then at that point, I think you're where we're at. Then you can say, great, this did really well. I'm going to create a long form piece from this because people really connected with this. Right. That was my whole takeaway. Those three things, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. There you have it. That's your takeaway from today.
Thanks for listening to Social Genius, brought to you by Drunk on Social. We are here to help you take your business to new levels through social media. Make sure to subscribe to get updates on new episodes and come join us on our Drunk on Social Facebook page. And as always, make sure you leave us a great review on your favorite podcast app. Feedback and likes are very much appreciated.